is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crock Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to them, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, February 16th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, I'm having a conversation with a organization that has been morphing, changing over the years. They have embraced their bohemianhood, their bohemian identity, and forged a new concept of what it is to be Bahamian Rastafari. Today, I actually have two women who are joining me via Zoom. A part of, hopefully I call the right group. This is the Bobo Shanti Empresses. Hopefully they come on live right now. So you could correct me if I'm wrong. Empress? They're on mute. I can hear you now.
Yes.
Good morning.
I just want to confirm
that it is the House of Rastafari.
Okay.
The mansion.
Good. Now we can explain that, and then we'll go over what it is that we're here for. There is a group called the House of Rastafari, right? And it has two different mansions, and two different mansions means that you join the amalgamation of two different groupings?
No, there's all mansions. All mansions come under that. It's not just Bobo Shanti and Naya Bengi. There's also Non-Alliance. There's 12 tribes. There are many different parts of that comes under one umbrella.
And
located in Bahamas.
And all of those different mansions is in the Bahamas at this present time?
Yeah. Some of them are.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Some of them are.
And this is a international group or just a local group?
This is local.
Okay, so I just want to establish what it is that what's happening now. This is the House of Rastafari, and you're saying that there are several groups that are a part of it that are local, like a local chapter, correct?
Yes, okay. It's just underneath one umbrella. You have Naya Bengi. Those are two different mansions, but we're under them. We won't just be under those two mansions, but everyone collectively comes in under one umbrella.
Good.
But before we get there, I am Empress Marilyn, and I have it with me here is Empress Ronnie today.
And you use the term Empress. What exactly does Empress mean?
Empress is just the honorable title that one received through the great works. And the title kind of came from Empress Menin, whom we are celebrating now, who we consider the mother of the Ethiopian nation. And so from her crowning, she was crowned November 2nd, 1930, along with Emperor Haile Selassie. So Empress Menin represents the balance of the man and woman kingdom. Likewise, we as the empresses take on that same role and we fulfill the balance of the man and woman kingdom.
So the day I wanted to commemorate or celebrate womanhood in the Rastafari community, right? And you mentioned that you're the host of Rastafari, which is a united group of different mansions. And we have two representatives here. And you mentioned the Empress Menin. I hope I pronounced that right. Forgive me for that. Okay, thanks. And you are celebrating her. Can you give me some narrative on who she is exactly?
Well, Empress Menin, like I say, is the wife of Haile Selassie. She's been crowned Empress during the celebration of the coronation. And we celebrate her because of her progress and her in nation building. So she was also a Christian, honoring mothers, honoring Ethiopian Orthodox Church, honoring just the life and upliftment of us as a people. Empress Menin did school for girls. She was advisory on His Imperial Majesty promoting women issues. She was the Ethiopian patroness of the Ethiopian Red Cross. So it's just, you know, us as women wanting to walk in that honorable footstep of the mother of creation, and Africa being the continent to which all DNA leads now, because, you know, on this road for like 40 and 42 years. It was a hard road to trod, but because of the knowledge and the increase in knowledge of who Empress Menin is, I know, and we all know as empresses, that we have to take a stand and stand right now for the man and woman kingdom.
Usually, behemoths were told that Rastafari do not embrace Babylon. Right, and I'm leading to a particular celebration that you're all having, right, where you invited everybody to attend and participate. And I'm seeing that the trod of Rastafari is changing, where you are more engaging. And I want to know what is happening in the community to cause this.
Well, Rastafari people were always engaging. So what we're doing here is nothing new, because we were not a set of people that, you know, was hidden. We were always there in the light. But what we're doing, because we're celebrating Empress Menin, we're also inviting all empresses in the diaspora. And when we say that, we're talking about persons who are freely to recognize themselves as an African. Okay, so it's not that we're thinking of it as some would express it to be, and Babylon is not just the people, it's the thought of somebody. So it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean, Rastas alone saying that, you know, the other people are Babylonians. To me, it's just a thought, you know, of how you think. If you want to be caught up in the systems, you know what I mean? And you not even want to check who you are as an individual, to separate yourself from persons, you know, and things that Babylon is just, you would say, wrong. That's what it is. People of wrong, you know, we're people of right, or we try to live the best we can to righteousness. So to separate yourself from the wrong, and that's just where the Babylon term comes from. You know, the wrong in the system, the wrong in, you know, what people doing, the wrong in your thought process. It could be you also. But it doesn't even have to extend that far to another one. It can be your thought system, how you think.
Good morning.
Amen.
Good morning and blessed love. It's Erin Green here. You know, as an advocate, I think about that often. When Cecil asks the question, I smile, because it's really, quote unquote, Babylon that has shifted. Right? Yeah. The system has changed, has acknowledged human rights, has acknowledged diversity, has acknowledged that people have a right to live differently, right? And so what, like you say, Rastafari has always been visible. It's the system that has become more amenable and easier to engage with.
That's great. Thank you for that interjection. And because of that, too, it has now given us an opportunity to open up ourselves even more. So it's not that we didn't want to open up to the public. It's just that because the rejection was so great and so strong. But over the years, there's been a tremendous blessing upon Rastafari people in the Bahamas. And so we, the women in the diaspora now, we would like to do some things towards opening up ourselves to the public. So what we're doing on this occasion is April 7th, we're going to have a African fashion show. I, Veronica Ellis, is one of the designers who is going to present African garments, African clothing. So it's going to be clothing for men, women, and children. So anybody who is interested, those who have their children who want to now take their children out of the traditional garments and try to get them now to learn the African culture and what it means to us. Because I'm 67 years old, which means that I came from that colonial era. So like I tell people, if I was able to sing the song, God Save Our Gracious Queen, hell yeah, I was Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie. And so it's with that spiritual upliftment right now that, you know, we want to present ourselves, that people could begin to see that Rastafari is just not about dreadlocks and marijuana, which most people think that that's the whole concept of us.
Absolutely. What I'm looking forward to for the fashion show is this. Society has changed greatly over the last 40 years, in particular fashion. When I was a little girl, my mommy buy my church dress from Orleans. And now we see parents have less and less options for children. Most of the clothes is just adult clothes in children's sizes.
And, which I hate. As a designer, I hate it with a passion.
And so I'm looking forward to see what the fashion lines are for children. And
yes, ma'am.
How Rastafarian communities navigate this society overwhelmed with cultural imperialism, where people are just buying whatever comes in from the north. People are just buying whatever fashion says is the it thing. When really parents need more choice for suitable clothing for the children.
Their children, suitable clothing. You said the right word, and I'm very proud of that word. Suitable clothing for their children, because I became very upset when I saw children being put into adult garment, the very same garment that is an adult style garment, the children are wearing it. All of that has destroyed us as a society, as a people. So we want to take it back to roots and culture.
So in April 7th, which will it be all Rastafarian designers? Is there more than one?
So far, we're still in the building process, but so far we have two of them. And anyone who's interested, and that's why we're open, you know, of displaying their pieces, they can do that also.
So there's a number they can people can contact you, and they can be included inside this fashion design, fashion show.
Yes, definitely.
Even as persons wanting to walk a garment. So if there are one or two designers who would like to participate, we're open to it. And if anybody, models who would like to participate and showcase garments, we'll be open to it.
Absolutely.
And what type of sizes are you going to be modeling? Are they like all petite or just different size garments type thing?
Why are you leaving me out, Mr. Nuri? You going to have size Andrus?
I just want to tell him he can send in his size so he can get his garment made.
Mr. Nuri, if you want to be there, Aaron, if you want to be there, y'all can send me some sizes and I'll see how best I can accommodate you guys and pray that you be a part of us.
And
blessings.
When you say fashion show, will it be all women clothing or is it men and women?
Man, woman, and children. Man, woman, and children.
We come to bring the balance, man. The balance.
Yeah.
The man, woman, children.
And let's talk about cultural imperialism just for a second. We quick to participate in the Christmas pajamas trend, right? Mommy, daddy, children have on matching pajamas. Well, let's do it Bahamian style and let's do it Rasta style. Bring the family out. Come find your matching outfit for Easter, your matching outfit for Independence, for the family portrait. Let's do it with our own culture.
Yes,
definitely.
Just piggybacking on that, is there such a thing as a Bahamian Rasta, or is it just Rastafarianism in general?
We are Bahamians
in this diaspora
as Rastafarians, yes.
And when we talk about fashion, are these dashikis or these are like concept from Africa that you have, the two fashion designers have interpreted?
They're all together. If one's want to wear a dashiki, they can wear a dashiki. If one's want to get a evening gown, one's want to get whatever. Whatever.
Plus, remember now, with the passage of time, like Ms. Green has said, a lot has changed. And so even African styles and fashion have changed. So you will be seeing fashionable garments as well.
What type of material are we using? These are what they call African material prints, or are you using general prints and just an African theme?
African attire is for the event. But if, let's say, if you're a person from Nigeria and you want to come in what the Nigerians wear, if you want to come from Ghana, if you want to come from Ethiopia, it's Africa and the whole continent. It's about the garments coming from wherever you want to come from with it, but it has to be from Africa.
So, as you know, we have a large diaspora here inside the Bahamas, African diaspora, right? And if persons from Nigeria who are listening now say, man, I want to be a part of this African fashion show. So what number can they contact you with and say, hey, I bring in my garments?
Okay, Ambassador, you want to leave your number?
Okay, I'm Empress Ronnie. I'm one of the designers, and my number is 242-801-1811.
Do that again one time. Again, please.
801-1811, Empress Ronnie.
Because, as you say, Africa is trending. African clothing is trending, right?
Yes.
And I know there are a number of people who say, man, I want an African outfit, an official dress, long sleeve shirt, or who are saying that you can come to your fashion show and see that and be able to get in contact with people there to say, hey, I want to purchase that one.
Listen to me. Send you a size so I can make sure you purchase in that one.
It sounds like a plan because I have a number of dashikis. You can ask Aaron. I have at least put 25. And I'm always looking for a new design, a new color, new print that I can take advantage of.
Yes.
But let's talk about where it's going to be. Go ahead.
It's going to be at the castle
on
West Ridge.
Yeah.
That is heading to, like, if you're heading to the airport.
So the place that looks like a castle on that airport road.
Yes,
on the airport road, it would be on the right hand side.
I see it.
Before I think you get to the roundabout.
Yes, and I know
While we're on the show, we're also looking for sponsors. Mm-hmm. So now that I know that you're in charge of this program, would you be able to sponsor some advertisement for us?
I'm looking for sponsor for advertisement now. I was just going to ask the host of Rastafari to sponsor me. But anyway, we'll talk about that. Off air.
Yeah, but hopefully the conversation will go out.
You know, so while we at it, if there is any sponsors that y'all can give us, we'd be more than happy.
Yes. But I want to know, why did you decide to have a fashion show and to include so many people in the diaspora?
Well, the fashion show was to bring people together. We've always, like, during this time, we would always have, like, services. We'll have in-house celebrations. So we just wanted to take it out to, you know, the communities and let them know what we're all about and who Empress Menin really is, because a lot of people never really heard about her. They've heard a lot about Emperor Haile Selassie I. So now we as empresses, we said we wanted to do something different. So what we will do is include the whole diaspora of Africans to come together, you know, so that we can, you know, just give this information and put Empress Menin forward, you know, because for a long time women have been kept in the back, you know, of everything you do. Even in Christianity, the women had to, you know, be in the back. We as empresses, we're supposed to be the balance. You know?
Yes.
We're supposed to be on the side, never in the back of nobody or no one on the top of us. That's something that I firmly have believed in, all, you know, from I know myself and able to make choices.
Not only
It's also the tea party. It's a fashion show tea party, actually.
Nice.
So we will have teas, we'll have pastries and bush teas, natural teas.
Like soursop leaf tea and lime leaf tea and thyme teas, Spanish thyme tea.
Hot teas, cold.
Whatever you desire. We have a few flavor amount of flavor teas, so it's going to be just awesome. And what we need also for you to do is to promote, you know, speak about it to other persons. We're going to have the flyers and the tickets. The flyer and the tickets coming out. They are in the process of being made, and within the next week, they should be out there. So if we can leave a flyer at your business establishment, it would be good. And if you want to take some tickets also, that would be good.
Let's talk tickets and price. How much is a ticket?
The ticket is only, believe it or not, the ticket's only $30.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely. A fashion show and a tea party.
And a tea party is only $30.
Okay, and give some detail on what all can I expect when I pay my $30. And so it's going to be a fashion show, you're inviting other designers to come and participate with you.
We're gonna have, in between will be drumming. In between will be some poetry. In between it will be, you know, some local artists, you know. So in between, you're not just going to be sitting down eating pastries.
Absolutely. And let's see if we could find someone who can tell us about the teas that we're drinking as well and the other beneficial properties of the teas.
Yes.
I'm excited with it. To remind me about the date again.
It's April 7th at 3 p.m. Westridge, the castle at Westridge.
And give me a number again so we can contact with you, especially those persons who want to partner and say, hey, I want to be a part of that fashion show and show my design. If I own an African store any African artifacts will be on sale or anything like that?
Well, we're trying our best to see how best we can accommodate all of those stuff. So if we get sufficient things and sufficient persons to bring that stuff up for sale, for sure.
Absolutely. Ms. Nuri, you know who needs to be at this event? Guidance counselors. Like if you are a CYM, a Christian youth minister, if you run one of those organizations, you should come out to this event. And I tell you why. Because parents often come to them and with queries and questions and concerns. Like, listen, my child is dressing above her age. Like even when I buy what I think is child appropriate clothing, somehow she make it another way and she just seem... Now a resource officer, right? A resource person could say to a parent, listen, have you checked out the House of Rastafari? Have you seen some of the fashion that's coming out of their community? Check it out and see if you feel with your child wearing this type of clothing. A lot of clothing from the States is associated with gang culture, right?
Uh-huh.
T-shirts and logos. Uh-huh. And go on, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Green, you know what is so exciting about what you're saying here now? We didn't even mention it, but we are having some of the students from a Catherine who is also going to be modeling some of the outfits.
Oh,
so
nice.
Definitely that's a plus for the younger generation.
Yeah, man, absolutely, absolutely. It gives them an opportunity. Like I have a young cousin right now named Isaac Poitier. He's making T-shirts, right? He's hand painting T-shirts with a proprietary technique, right? These young people could be making their own clothing and creating their own fashion lines, right? Mm-hmm. Go on, ma'am.
I'm going to bring some additional fashion that you guys could see. I have garments that I made. I got an award the other day for a garment collection that I made from the soda tabs off the can. Dresses, purses, you name it.
Nice.
I have clothing that and stuff that I made from the coconut tree. So I'll probably still see if I could bring one or two pieces to showcase, set up and showcase at the event.
So how is the support so far in terms of the various empresses throughout the various mansions? Have they reached out to you, say, are we eager?
Surprisingly, the support has been very great, and it seems like everybody was just probably waiting on an opportunity to be able to present. So we should be good.
Awesome.
Good. So it's going to be on April, I'm looking at my notes again.
April 7th.
April 7th.
And what time again?
3 p.m. at the Westridge.
The Castle on West Ridge.
The Castle on the West Ridge.
Mm-hmm. And the number to call for more information is 801-1811. That's 801-1811.
Yes, that's Empress Ronnie. And you can call Empress Marilyn at 646-1847.
Give that to me again.
646-1847.
And does the House of Rastafari have a social media page?
I will have to check into that. But I know everyone was using their personal pages.
And WhatsApp numbers. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. No, I enjoy that. I enjoy this, right? So this is going to be April 7th.
3 p.m.
3 p.m.
The Castle on the West Ridge.
Okay.
Yes, pardon me. Yes, the House of Rastafari, I do have it. I'm getting a text in now. I would ask for Jack Smitty to send the... information.
The link, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
No, this is good. And do you have your male counterparts? Do you say, well, I see what the Empress system are doing, and we as men and supporter of women, they coming out in drove?
They're actually working harder than the Empresses.
They're
making
sure
they get full support. And they're making sure and doing everything. That they know they need to do to help us bring this forward. So we've had tremendous assistance from all of our priests, our prophet, and the kings.
So we should expect to see a large contingent and what you call a kaleidoscope of colors, and yes, everyone in their full regalia.
Definitely.
In terms of drumming,
everyone from Guardian Radio and Radio to purchase some tickets from us. And I still didn't get that answer whether or not we can drop some tickets off to your establishment.
Why not? You could drop it off.
Okay, so I'll say 10 tickets.
And how would we go about an art?
You can call Janet Lees and then and speak to her in terms of ads, and she'll give you detail on that.
And off air, we'll give you some more details. I mean, the contact information to get to Miss Lees.
Yes.
Okay, definitely.
In terms of drumming, just before we go, in terms of drumming and entertainment, it's going to be a whole day of drumming. I mean, I guess some music and things to do besides the fashion show.
Yes, there's a lot of entertainment in between. We try our best to get as much. I don't know.
Outside public who's interested in participating with culturally something, even if it's just a poetry, just a reading, just even some additional knowledge, we open. So they could once they contact us, we'll send them in.
So poets can contact you also, and you can slate them into your activity.
Once it's on a timely manner, because we're working with time and we need to set up the program. Yeah. Be in the process of, so anyone who's interested can call in and give that information, and then we'll see how best we can accommodate them. But it needs to be ASAP.
Good. I enjoyed it.
I also need the location where these tickets can be dropped off on our two house.
You can okay. How the go ahead.
Mrs. Erin Green.
They had the guardian.
You had the guardian also?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. Well, that's the same place. So yes. You can just
Or have Copeland Smith reach out to me, and we'll work from there.
Okay. Good stuff.
Good.
So Erin, tell me what would you prefer, a button down shirt or just that cheeky top?
Oh boy, the cheeky top.
Down shirts, and I could make a nice one of them.
Nice.
Oh wow, the cheeky top.
The cheeky top. Okay. Yes. Fine.
And Mrs. Green?
Mrs. Green, she would take a button-down shirt.
Take a button-down shirt.
Okay.
Good. Okay. And thank you very much for joining us, Empresses. This has been Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Nuri. Do you want to say any last words before we go?
Let me see. I see something came in from Ras Copeland.
Well, okay.
House of Rastafari.
We just want to say again that it's open to the public.
Let me just give them the
Facebook
page. House on Facebook.
Right.
It's House of Rastafari 242.
House of Rastafari 242. And go ahead.
Yeah, Rastafari 242. And the email account is House of Rastafari Bahamas @gmail.com.
Good. So we'll do that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and thank you very much for joining us, okay?
Okay, I'm looking for you to be there, Bahamas.
Yes.
Along with guests, along with friends, along with family.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes. Send me the size of
good thanks.
Absolutely,
good
I will thanks. Do. We have the contact numbers. Again, you can reach out to the House of Rastafari Bahamas representatives for the House of Rastafari Fashion Show at 801-1811. That's Empress Ronnie, or 646-1847, and that's Empress Marilyn.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Give thanks.
Give thanks. Blessings.
Yes. That's
March 8th, 2024 is International Women's Day. Guardian Media wants all Bahamians to truly inspire inclusion. It's not just something we should say or something we should write about. It's something we need to think about, know, and embrace. It's what we should believe in unconditionally. This International Women's Day, Guardian Media wants you and your company to inspire inclusion. Celebrate the women in your organization this International Women's Day by placing them in an ad in our International Women's Day supplement. For more information, call 302-2300 or contact your account executive. The aim of the International Women's Day 2024 campaign is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. International Women's Day, March 8th, 2024. Inspire inclusion.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. 2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Fish Fry Friday is back at Margaritaville downtown Nassau, a 12-volt bar featuring the big band Visage with the latest soca music. Admission is $25, one complimentary drink included. Experience the Fish Fry Buffet at Vacation Cafe for only $55, party included. Doors open at 6:30 p.m., party until 11:30 p.m. After break, Fish Fry Friday is back. So come party with the big band Visage and your number one DJ March 1st at 12-0 Bar, Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. Tell your crew to meet you at Fish Fry Friday.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and I'm continuing to be your host. Erin Green is with me. We just finished speaking to the host of Rastafari, and they have an event in April 7th. That's during the Easter holiday time, I think, at 3 p.m. I think that's a Thursday. And they're inviting the entire public to come and take advantage of some teas and some pastries. Also, as they have their fashion show, they have a number of entertainment there at the same time with poetry, drumming, and songs and singing like that. So that sounds like a fun event.
And it's fashion not just for women, but fashion for women, men, and children.
Yes. And of course, a number of us are into daishikis and African print and African designers, right? And they are inviting other designers to come and participate. Say, hey, come. Yeah. Come and be a part of it.
And some people don't want to get caught up in the trend of Global North fashion, mm-hmm. right? We have very limited choices. It's what's in season this year. It's hard to find things, you know, a wide variety of things in stores. And so this gives women, men, and parents in particular alternate options, right? Choices on what they're going to dress their children in.
Yes. Right now, I'd like to congratulate, who I'm congratulating? Buddy Heal. He has been appointed yet another ambassador we have for the Bahamas, Ambassador at Large Buddy Heal. And congratulations. We have about 12 ambassadors at large by now. I'm just trying to go over what is an ambassador at large for the listening audience. And this is like basically ambassador without portfolio, right? Just go and who promotes the Bahamas and assists the general ambassador team and whatever support they need.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You have the story up on your phone?
And not yet. Let me see if I can get it right now and then I'll...
You pull the story up and I'm going to search what does ambassador at large mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a great... you know, we said congratulations, buddy. You haven't done anything that would discredit you from being an official ambassador to the Bahamas. But the question is, what is an ambassador at large? And what is expected, right? What should we expect from you in your role or function as ambassador at large? And what Google tells me is it's an ambassador with special duties not appointed to a particular country. And so then the next question is, well, where can we find the listing, right? Where can we find a detailing of what
and this is a paid gig. Is? I mean, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be a paid gig, right? If he gets an official title, then he needs the benefits of the ambassador or whatever benefits that is.
But I'm not sure because I'm feeling like we give these titles to people who don't need the financial support to fulfill the function.
I think Rick Fox is an ambassador at large also.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Fireman Brown. What the Fireman Brown?
Chris.
The Fireman Brown is a ambassador at large also. All these are sports ambassadors that we pay, and they have the benefits of the benefits and title of ambassadors, mm-hmm. right? But mind you, Buddy Hield has been representing the Bahamas for a while. He heralds the Bahamas mm-hmm. in general, right? But does he need an official title? Does it add to his prestige, or he could have done that just doing being a basketball star and say, man, I promote the Bahamas because I love the Bahamas. Or is this a part of our response to...
Our media tour.
Our media tour. Yeah.
Well, will we read from the article?
Yeah, read from the article.
All right, here we go. The article I'm reading from Eyewitness News. Buddy Hield appointed ambassador at large for the Bahamas. The Office of the Prime Minister has announced his appointment as ambassador at large. Hield is expected to receive his presentation of credentials by the PM during a ceremony this morning. Hield was... How?
Fly down. He's a millionaire. He has his own jet.
He's playing ball, man.
He could fly down.
Don't he get a... He just a new transition to a new team. He can't be taking no time to fly down, man.
Then perhaps we fly down to him.
Well, what we say...
See, there you go.
What we say is that it is a tremendous responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we say thank you to him for taking it on because he will have to balance it with his NBA career and his home life.
He's balancing it.
Well, Rick Fox is retired now. And yeah. So he'll have to balance that with his professional life
as
an investor.
I don't see the balancing. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't see the balancing. I just don't see him active. But that's okay. We have a caller. Why won't you finish reading? Caller, hold on. I'm coming to you right now. That's when you finish reading the article.
Hield was recently traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. Hield made his 76ers debut, putting up 20 points and 6 assists against the Atlanta Hawks. A native of Grand Bahama, Hield played college for the Oklahoma Sooners. This is a really nice resume. I'm going to skim through it, but I mean, he played college for the Oklahoma Sooners, was named the Big 12 Conference Men's Basketball Player of the Year in 2015 and 2016. 2016, he received 4 major National Player of the Year awards.
I just got a picture with the Prime Minister taking a picture with Buddy Hield, so he's here in the Bahamas.
I mean, it does look like the Bahamas. The John R. Wooden Award, the Naismith Award, Sporting News Player of the Year, and the Oscar Robertson Trophy. As all 2016. Hield was selected with the 6th overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft by the New Orleans Pelicans and was traded to the Kings for DeMarcus Cousins. He was dealt to the Indiana Pacers in a package in 2022.
I say we can get more ambassadors, as many as we can. Let's go to the caller there. Caller, how you doing?
Hi, morning, CJ and Aaron.
Good morning, how you
morning.
Doing?
Good. Somebody correct me if I'm mistaken, but it seems as though the Iowa Key complex is managed by the Ministry of Agriculture. Now, that being a high-traffic food and beverage area, I would think that that would come under the management of the Ministry of Health. Because, you know, it has to be, you are talking about health, you're talking about health and safety, you're talking about sanitation and hygiene. And, you know, when people actually consume a lot of food and beverage, they should be saving from a safe place. So,
do you,
looking at that for me.
One second, sir. How do you, I'm presuming that you think it would be more effectively managed if the...
Yes.
If it was
by the Ministry of Health,
in which ways would you see improvements on the current management?
Well, obviously there should be health and sanitation checked at least, if not weekly, monthly or bi-weekly, you know, on whether sanitation and healthy procedures are being followed.
I got you.
The area, the workplace. I mean the entire area outlet.
Absolutely.
Also, the employees, you know, uniformed, the way how they dress, everything.
I appreciate what you're saying.
I had
a recent story. I didn't get to read it, where they were focused on a project to improve or to provide a solution for what they call like clogging of the drains out at Arawaki. And Mr. Levon Miller, who I think is the chairman or who's responsible for the agency managing Arawaki at this time, said they're proposing to change the pipes from 8 inches to 10 inches to prevent clogging, and the expectation is it'll be a long-term fix, so they probably won't have to attend to the pipes again for another 20, 30 years, hopefully. So they're looking into that, but I think a more effective response would possibly be to create a unit within the Ministry of Health, right? Build the capacity, you know, grow it far beyond what the current mechanisms have. And those units attend to all festival sites, festival events. They would attend to Potoski, Arawaki, anywhere there's a conch salad stand, the what they call the farmer's market out at Golden Gates. All of those spaces should be regulated, or oversight should be provided by including a unit from Ministry of Health, so that on a daily basis they can move through and provide oversight for those concerns, the health and safety, the sanitation, all of those things. But it should be a unit from Ministry of Health and not necessarily those elements being brought under Ministry of Health.
Also, we have another announcement, another appointment, a new permanent secretary, Alison Greenslade. And I know Alison Greenslade was his former...
Commissioner of Police, and he was the former High Commission
in England for United Kingdom. Yes, he is, right? Let's see what this says. On behalf of the Honorable Alfred Says, along with the staff of the Department of Immigration, the National Insurance Board, and the Ministry, we would like to welcome Permanent Secretary Alison Greenslade, with his extensive experience as a former Commissioner of Police and High Commissioner to United Kingdom and South Africa. We are confident that he will bring a wealth of knowledge and expertise to the ministry. Now, mind you, I would have thought that permanent secretaries is someone who has been trained throughout the years. This is a building block. I'm not saying that he's not qualified.
Well, I mean,
that
you're a civil servant, and so you have
the professional civil servant.
Institutional knowledge that you would have gathered through your matriculation, right?
Yes.
As you proceeded through the civil service.
And in the system itself.
Right. Institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
My greater concern is this, and I'm not sure if people observe what I observe. Whenever a chairman, and in this instance, a PS, a director is appointed, and they don't have necessarily expertise in that space.
He's a police officer.
But they're a police officer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're a pastor. I always ask, well, why has this person been appointed?
You think this is a political appointment?
It goes beyond. I'm not talking about politics, right? My concern is, why do you think the policing, right? Like, we talk about the appointment of Mr. Jadowick, the lead pastor at New Covenant, to
yes.
Warden Sewerage Chairman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reserve police officer, extensive career in religion, right?
Perhaps police are just disciplined. They don't necessarily be qualified. They're
exactly.
Just disciplined.
A level of discipline, integrity, respect for the force. What concerns me is why is that person appointed? I know were you experiencing a degree of malfeasance in that space prior to this appointment where you think that this appointment will bring a particular skill set or characteristic to the job to combat that, to prevent that, to deal with that?
One must now ask, what is the expectation of Greenslade? In terms that they seem to be short. If they hire from outside,
right.
It seems to be short staff.
What is
the whole public service seem to be short staff of competent permanent secretaries. Therefore, they would have to hire from outside,
right?
Instead of bringing someone from within the body.
What does he bring into the table that the human resources you have available to you cannot bring to the table, right?
You know, policing.
And is it a matter of shifting the culture within the space? And is it that you expect that staff within the space will have more respect for a person with this level, with this stature?
Is the experience in general orders? To say, hey, no, you can't do that. You can't talk to me that type of way. You can't order me to go do this. You can't send me home like this. You're not experienced in general orders.
Will the policing culture buck up against, right, the civil service culture? Or has his time in the diplomatic service now...
That's a different arena still.
Right, so you say now the critique is that's three separate arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And his diplomatic service experience and his military police experience will not necessarily be sufficient for this role, right? Or will there be a conflict?
Or is this a new norm that we can expect more permanent secretaries, the career ones, to be replaced by former police officers, military-type men, disciplined men, women,
right,
to be filled these roles because they bring a particular type of energy, a particular type of experience that the current human resources cannot be or has not been providing.
Right. And are we strategizing, right? Do we have a ethos, a platform, anything for our appointments? Because what's raised... For me, in today's Guardian, when I look at the story, ankle bracelet firm given 30 days to improve service, and I've read a bit of it, what I thought about is most security companies are owned and operated by former police officers, retired police officers, right? And does this represent a conflict of interest? Hmm. Does it represent a conflict of interest in the provision of this particular service? And is anybody in the government having these types of critical conversations, interrogations?
Let's go to the phone line there, producer. Is it appropriate to question the competency of the new permanent secretary, or that's just bad manner?
No, of course it's proper. It's required. And we're hoping, what we would have hoped for is an actual statement detailing why this particular choice, why someone who is in the military service and in the diplomatic service is now being brought in
and
at the tail end of the
people.
Public service. Yes.
Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Sia. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning. Morning.
Are you really serious? Are you hoping to get answers?
No, I didn't say I was hoping to get answers. I just saying that these are the questions that we should be asking.
You know how long the opposition was looking for answer. Hey, are you serious?
No. I'm more serious than the opposition, though.
These government, they can do what they could do, and that's it. They answer to nobody. You and I know that. They come tell you one thing when they're looking for your vote. When they get in there, they are what they call sacrosanct. They are infallible. They answer to nobody. But my question is, what is the role of the chairman anyhow? I thought the chairman was just like an honorary thing like that. I thought all of the policies and everything was done by the minister. What is the role of the chairman? Because it seems like the chairman has more power than the minister.
Well, I think think about it. A chairman has been appointed, which vests the authority in a certain degree of authority in the chairman. The minister sets the policy.
Yeah.
That the chairman operates within, right?
So if the minister sets policy then to chairman is just to so-called oversee the policy, but apparently looking at what's going on now, it seems like, you know, what's taking place in the news, it seems like the former chairman had more power than the minister, because the minister didn't even know contracts were supposed to come to him to get it, and the minister's approval was being signed.
Well, let's be careful when we're talking about matters before the court. But I appreciate the point you're making. Like, there seems to be some miscommunication. What's happening in that space?
You know,
and how is it expected to be managed, right? Is there a blueprint?
Is there a public blueprint for the role of the chairman? These are things that the public need to know, you know.
Right,
and we could never get the answer.
So we could engage in more informed and reasonable, rational conversations as opposed to speculating all the time.
You see, the only thing we can speculate, only thing we can go by, are former precedents that were set and what also by others. But from all my recollection, because when this certain person didn't get appointed, at a particular position, he was mad. He was mad. Everybody else got the appointment, and he didn't get his own, and he was stocks very mad.
Look where you go. Thanks very much.
I go on.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mr. Just to close it out, in today's Guardian, top fold, front page, 4 months on, no answer to question on envoys appointed by government. More than 5 months after opposition leader Pintard placed on the agenda the House of Assembly a question regarding the number of envoys the Davis administration has appointed and the amount being paid to them, the government has failed thus far to provide an answer. After Pintard read the question aloud during question time in the House of Assembly on Wednesday, Nassau Village MP Jamal Strawn, Parliamentary Secretary... Boy, there you go. You have to pick up that story. When you pick up The Guardian today, make sure you grab a copy. It's going to be good weekend reading.
I don't expect no answers, Aaron. Anyway, Guardian Reading on the AM with C.A. Nuri. I expect more ambassadors to be listed and named.
Well, I want to be an ambassador to Chikchani's, the diaspora of Chikchani's.
You can get paid for that. An ambassador at large, you can get paid for that.
Might as well.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day. Thanks very much, Aaron.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.